The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. Yeah. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian. We're getting laughs already.
I'm already
and
laughing.
And the host of the aforementioned podcast, and alongside me in our studio slash my kitchen slash my wife's kitchen where she belongs.
Oh, come on.
No.
You're better than that.
You know what? It's 2017 and things are changing. This is not...
In the year of our Beyonce.
Yeah. No, her room is more the bedroom. Ayo.
Wow.
What's going on?
Wow.
Because that's where she folds laundry. And guys, we are not that chauvinistic. This is all very ironic because we're a comedy podcast.
You're never going to make it on Saturday Night Live. This is it. This was the podcast that made sure you're never going to be on SNL. So I hope you're happy. I hope you're happy with your life choices.
I was talking to Dallas McLaughlin about that, who is a former front seater. He's been on the on the podcast before.
Yeah.
And he was saying he had a tweet about it. We were talking about it. We were at a show at Madhouse a couple nights ago, and he said, perhaps most offensive about this whole thing, and nobody's talking, I'm paraphrasing, nobody's talking about how boring of a podcast this is.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see the clip?
Yeah.
It was boring. It's like, this might, I mean, maybe other clips are fun, but this just wasn't entertaining.
I can't believe anyone found that. It's like, who goes looking for that?
It was so tedious.
Really,
to sit. I think Jay's probably funny. I wasn't really familiar with this stuff, but I watched that clip. I was like, man, this isn't getting laughs.
No.
This is, anyways, if you're going to use a racial slur, get some laughs. Well, racial slurs are what we're all about here on our podcast.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
But thank you for tuning in here to our funny podcast about family.
Yeah.
And welcome back, backseaters. It's great to have you. We have a very fun episode today.
Yeah.
So we're oh, gosh. We have today none other than the hilarious comedian Sophia Alexandra. Sophia is absolutely hysterical. I met her. She was in town from Los Angeles doing my show, Lestat's Comedy Night, every Tuesday for the last 15 years. I've been hosting it 3 of the years. And she was in town. She was doing a spot, and then she came back, and she headlined it. She was in town doing a bunch of spots, so we went and recorded this at her hotel room. And it is a
great episode. Did you hear that,
Melissa? Mm-hmm.
In her hotel room.
Yeah, it was a Days Inn in Hotel Circle, which it was a big flex from Sophia. Big. I'm pretty sure she got it on Priceline.
Yeah.
Name your own price tool.
Meet me by the pool. There's no pool, Sophia.
There's no pool.
It's a fountain. It's a fountain.
It is a fountain that runs into a jacuzzi.
It's a fountain of it's just Sprite. It's actually not an actual fountain. It's just a Sprite fountain.
It's off-brand Sprite, though.
Yeah.
What's the off-brand Sprite called?
It's Dr.
Lemon Lime. They just call it Lemon Lime.
Dr. Lemon Lime.
Why is there a doctor?
I don't know.
Of the off-brand sodas, let's go here real quick.
Sure.
There's the Pepsi Coke. There's the main ones.
Sure.
And then of the off-brands one, were there any ones that you could get down with, like the Albertsons or the Safeway or the Vons brand, like the Dr. Dr. Thunder was one there for a while.
Not so much those, but I used to drink a lot when I was a little kid. The New York seltzers, the one, I think they were called Dr. Brown's. They came in the glass, and they just came back. They just came back again. They're clear. They're all clear, and they're like little glass bottles.
Is this medicine?
Were no. Dr. Brown's revitalizing tonic. Have you heard of it?
No.
It's good for your humors.
Were you drinking your grandpa's Alka-Seltzer?
It's good for your gumption. It improves your humors. And it will.
It takes the swelling off your shingle.
No, it's called. It was something. It was like a. It's something from New York. It was a New York brand, but it was called Dr.
You were the
Brown's.
Oldest child.
I am.
I bet you called your dad father.
I just called him Potter. Potter, Mater. When are we going to the circus?
I bet you guys wore matching sweaters to the park.
I just
and played chess.
I
while
pushed
you're...
a hoop down the street with a stick. It was very fun.
Father, shall we play stickball in the alley?
Father, shall we play with the hoops? Do you want to play hoops with me after your shift at the coal mines? But he was already dead, and that's the biggest tragedy of them all.
I love a good 75-year-old third grader. I love it. Guys, we are way off track. This episode
what
was
were you talking about?
Oh, we're talking
Sophia.
About a Days in right. a hotel circle.
Okay.
Sophia is a hysterical comedian, and I was. This was the longest conversation that we had had. So we she didn't. I like episodes like this because some of them are real friends that I know.
Yeah.
And you regular backseaters, you guys know that. You can tell where, like, okay, there's. We don't. I ask for, like, no backstory because we know all of it, right?
Right.
Sophia, I had done a show with a lot of time after Lestat. Some of the comedians will go out and we'll have a drink and some food and stuff. So she came out with me and Zoltan and some other folks, and we got to know a little bit. So we did the podcast the next day and just got into it.
Sure.
This is a funny episode. This is a heavy episode.
Right.
This is an insightful episode. One of our main goals, if not the main goal of this podcast, is to, we say we're a funny podcast about family, but it's to look at individuals' lives from as many diverse backgrounds and contexts as we can.
Yeah.
And you know, so we can understand and empathize and grow as humans to get to know people who we wouldn't otherwise get to know. And
right.
That's
and,
one of the
belittle.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we understand so
mock.
That we can belittle.
Right.
Yeah. That's
right.
The
yeah.
angle. So Sophia and I have, and she's very open and very honest. As if you're a regular listener to this podcast, you realize comedians are.
Yeah.
We just kind of lay it
it's
out
the whole
there.
Deal.
So Sophia talks about her childhood growing up, our first 11 years, I believe, in Ukraine.
Okay.
Her immigration over, her early life there. She gets into a pretty heavy story about a miscarriage that she has, relationship with family, current and past, really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
And we have a laugh and it gets good and emotional. We've always said this to a lot of our listeners really appreciate that this, you know, certain episodes they can listen to with their family. We will promise we are a clean podcast, but we're not every episode is necessarily going to be content that you want your young kids to listen to.
Right.
This episode, again, it depends the age of your kid and depends what kind of parent you are. It depends if you're rad
yeah.
or not.
Yeah.
But know that there are some heavier topics that we get into on this episode. So keep that in mind.
Right.
Also, you can follow Sophia on Instagram and Twitter. Her Instagram handle is the same as her Twitter handle is that and as at the Sophia. Why don't you take a guess on how this Sophia
I mean, I just looked
at it. Okay. Sophia.
Yeah.
The Sophia. She's the one.
When you texted me earlier today about, like, hey, I think let's run this episode with Sophia, I honestly thought that you were so dumb you didn't know how to spell Sophia.
No. I have.
I'm not joking. I thought I was like.
You were PH.
This?
Right?
No. I thought you put the Y in there.
And I think that's your own prejudice.
I mean, hey, man, you still say federal.
Yeah, that's how we're supposed to say it. Federal way. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
I guarantee my GPA was lower than yours. a couple self-promotion things, guys. One, let's talk about some Dustin Nickerson headlining comedy dates. We've got a few new ones.
Do we have to?
We do. Okay. You're on one of them.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk
about
them.
You're on exactly one of them.
One of them.
On October 17th, I'm going to be in Tampa. On October 18th, I'm going to be in Atlanta. October 19th, I'm going to be in Dallas. October 20th, I'm going to be in Houston.
Yep.
December 14th, I'm going to be here in San Diego at the Grandstand. You're on that show. Hosting.
Yeah, doing a tight. I'm doing a tight 2.
Yeah, I was going to say, okay, can you keep it cleanish?
We'll talk about
it. We'll make it a tight 1. We got down to a, hey guys, bathrooms in the back. Give it up for the troops.
Yeah.
Welcome to the stage, your first comedian. Spokane, Washington, February 9th. Tacoma, Washington, March 28th and 29th. And just announced, the first time we announced it here, I'm going to be at Zany's Comedy Club in Nashville, Tennessee on February 26th.
Getting nasty.
Go to DustinNickerson.com for all information on those shows.
Yeah, do it.
Or not.
Or else.
I mean, whatever, you live.
No, do it or else.
How about you live your life? And it would be great if a big part of that life was coming to my comedy shows.
It would be fantastic.
Because selling tickets is very... very hard, and I feel like I'm when I don't, I feel like I'm disappointing a lot of people.
Yeah, mostly your kids who need to eat.
No, those kids are well fed. They're well fed.
Yeah,
don't you dare.
Yeah,
how dare you. They're skinny, but that's because they have a great metabolism.
It's because they want to be.
It's because they live an active lifestyle,
right?
And they run around this neighborhood yelling, playing Pokemon Go and yelling from or running from my screams.
Yeah,
my yells. I just, guys, before we move on, I want to tell a funny a story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's Melissa Nickerson is my wife.
And, it is? Oh, okay. I thought that was your sister this entire time.
Oh, well, no. My sister, Jessica Sewell, would be very insulted by that. Jessica Sewell is not her maiden name. So, Melissa, what is that group that you're on? Parenting in the Tech World.
Okay.
All right. So this is a Facebook group, and so the idea behind the group is fantastic. And probably go join the group. Would you recommend it, Melissa? No words, just a yes or a no. Thank you. And I'd highly it's because, you know, like, this is like the big issue of figuring out when you have a preteen, what are you gonna do with their, you know, how their tech stuff. And Melissa posted this one. She sent me a screenshot today. And okay, in general, when parents are struggling, my heart goes out to them. It does. Okay. There was a thing at a baseball field today. Melissa and I have a hard time not laughing at other parents' struggles. we recently saw a kid get beaned.
Sure.
I don't even know if I can tell the story, but a kid beaned, like he got hit by their pitcher and like. He like slammed his bat down, and was like, "You son of a!"
Oh,
and he started going to the mound, and everyone was real tense, and I was dying.
Yeah,
it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
What's the age on this?
The middle school. Yeah, yeah, and it was
13.
Yeah, and the kid
old enough for it to be serious.
Oh, he didn't put the bat down.
Oh,
it was great. I love every second of that.
Yeah,
Melissa sent me one today. So this is. You know what I like is I like snarky teens.
Sure.
Because we're all in it together. And like, if your kid is like a good teen, then that's probably going to be a bad adult.
Yeah.
You know, like they're just bad years. Your brain is insane right now. It can't process anything.
Yeah.
They're tough, tough years. It is the height of awkward. That's what middle school is. We're like, just go be weird together.
Right.
Just go figure. Because like a middle school as an invention doesn't even make sense, because we're saying you're not little kids.
Sure.
But you're not near adults either.
Right. Because
like a high schooler can drive a car.
Sure.
And then by the end of it, they can vote. They can buy cigarettes. They can like do all that stuff.
They can die in a war.
They can die in a war. Exactly. Yeah, an 18-year-old kid. But a middle schooler, like, you can't be either. You can't be near adult. You can't be near child.
Yeah.
So anyways, send me the screenshot of a parent texting their kid that they were going to limit their screen time.
Okay.
Hi, honey. I limited your screen time to 3 hours a day on weekdays, right? Because you can do that on their device. You can actually go in and limit.
Right.
To 3 hours a week. Just letting you know so you can budget how to use it. Kid responds back like a minute later. You're so annoying. I hate living with you.
Whoa.
That's so funny to me.
Also, 3 hours on a weekday. What time do you get home from school?
It's so much.
You get home at 4? 3 hours. If you started the minute you get home, you're going until 7. Yeah. You got to eat and you got
to
go to bed.
I've told that to our son so many times. Like, yeah, you don't have time for this.
Right.
You come home from school, you do your homework, you go to school. Like, yeah, you, there's no time for, or you do, you do your homework, you take a shower, you get ready for bed. There's no time for this. But like the teen,
you're
just
so annoying.
You're so annoying. I hate living with you.
I hate that I only get 3 hours.
3 hours
of screen
is ridiculous.
Time.
Thank you for buying this phone and paying for this phone. But I hate living with you. Okay, what are your other options?
Right.
Go pursue your other options. Right. You 13-year-old.
Right. Oh, that'd be great. If that just I just feel like if I would have gotten that text message, that same exact text message, I would have snapped the phone,
right,
or the tablet. I mean, literally, Bo Jackson over my knee. Snapped it,
yes,
in half.
Yep, right, absolutely.
Let all the mercury and, yep, and harmful chemicals leak out. I don't, yeah, even care.
That's what happens at first. There was a Melissa and I were around another thing recently where, and I'll keep vague on this, but we saw one of those things where apparently it kind of gets physical enough with a kid that you're like, ooh.
Sure.
You know, it just kind of makes you cringe a little bit. And it was Dorothy with Bach. And
he was sleeping too much.
He was sleeping too much. She and was like, ooh.
Wake up.
And it was the same thing. At first, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
But we didn't see what happened right before that. So at first, I was on the kid side.
Right.
And then this kid lost his mind. He was, okay, like young.
Yeah.
And he like was like told his grandma to shut the F up. He was like, shut the F up, grandma.
Oh.
And like by the end, I was like, yeah, whatever's going to happen, you kind of have that coming.
Yeah.
You,
yeah,
know?
I mean, it was just... You can only go so far.
A person can only take so much. It doesn't, yeah, matter if it's a child.
Right.
It doesn't. You are a human with a whole set of emotions.
Don't write that check because it will get cash. write a bunch of checks and, yeah, they'll get cash.
That's, I mean, I, you know, I've heard that. I do that bit and I believe it, that you're like, when people like our age now go to therapist and talk about their childhood trauma that their parents put through, but they're not telling the whole story.
Right.
Your parents should be there to tell the whole thing. Bad. Like, one time my dad slapped my arm. What'd you do right before that? Oh, you threw a bottle, like a glass of wine in his face.
Right, 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 right.
That's right. And then you called
like a real housewife of Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. And then you called his new wife fat.
Like a real housewife of Atlanta.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, maybe him grabbing your wrist a little on the firm side.
Yeah.
Maybe it just adds a little context. I'm not saying it was good, but I'm not saying it was wrong.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it could be right and also wrong.
Anyways, you're exactly, you know what? This episode, as you said, is, I'm not going to get hired for SNL.
No,
so.
You're definitely not. I'm going to edit all the things that you say, and I'm just going to be me saying, I don't agree. And then it's going to be saying,
oh,
more,
yeah,
and more.
Yeah.
And
like,
then
like,
I don't
we
think
hire
so.
Steven.
And then they're going to be like,
guys, enjoy this episode with Sophia, and thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. Please tell your friends about it, and,
yeah,
you know, share on all the social medias and give us a follow. And if you want to shoot us an email, do so at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com.
Do that.
And if you want to leave us a voicemail, you can give us a call at 619-292-8787. You mess it up when you do that.
87.
There's not that many 87s. Enjoy this episode with Sophia. Thanks, guys. So you're in town doing shows all this week, Monday through Thursday.
Yep.
And you did my show last night, Lestats.
And so fun.
It's very fun. And just so you did have a talker. You want to tell that story?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
people
I
always,
do love being heckled.
People always ask about hecklers. It's one of, like, I think it's because hecklers are what, so Americans' number one fear is public speaking. And then within that, like the comedy, being a stand-up comedian, what we do is literally people's nightmares.
Oh, totally.
And the reason is not because of the silent judgment. It's because of the fear of a heckler. So I think that's why people ask about hecklers all the time.
I think it's because the takedown culture is so big right now.
Right.
And they've been like used to expect all these clips,
yeah,
of like, comedian, yeah, destroys heckler. He came in with 4 kids and a wife. Now they're just ghosts. Like,
comedian ends life of other. You're like, okay. That, you know what's funny? I did a show this last weekend, and there was a girl on her phone on a call, not a text. I ignore text because even though it makes me mad,
It's quiet.
It's quiet, and the rest of the crowd can't see it.
Exactly. I and also ignore texts.
I sabotaged a set one time at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach so bad. I was doing 15 minutes, and I was minute 12. I was going really well. And it was like my first time there. I was like, oh, they'll let me back after this, you know? And there's a girl on her phone, and I got mean, and I went to her. She was texting, and it went so poorly because the rest of the crowd didn't see it. But this girl in Sacramento took a call and then passed it around and was like making punches, like put it on speaker, like you should talk to him. It's like, I'm not doing any of this. She's trying to create some moment. But she's as like,
I'm funny. Mm, I'm the funny one of the show. Yeah,
look what's happening right now. It'd be so funny if you talked to my friend. You're like, oh gosh. But the but as I was like, hey, I need you to get off the phone. Like, that's the first thing that I said. Like, or don't mind me. I'm not in the middle of anything. Some stupid line.
Yeah.
And some guy in the corner goes like, oh, here we go.
Oh, it's the same thing as when two women are talking and like they disagree on anything. And there's always that like stupid guy who's like, cat fight. Yeah. Oh, no. You're like, what? We're not fighting. But it's the same. Yeah. It's the person who's like, oh, no, takedown.
Yeah. And I looked over at him. I was like, none of that. I was like, it's not going to be like that. I just need you to get off the phone. I'm not even going to try and make it funny. You know, Zoltan, who we went out with, I was doing a show with him once and he goes, someone started talking and they like yelled something at him and he goes, no, like none of that, and it got like a snicker and then he just went back into his act. So but this guy was different. This guy, the way that he was set up, he was kind of behind you, right?
Well, he was to my left, so, and to my left is just a bench, right?
Right,
like the whole audience is in front of me. To my left is just a bench with four people, and two of them are having an entire conversation that is loud and audible to me. And they're like laughing, not at me, at other things that they're talking about.
They're like showing each other memes on their phone or something.
I'm like, what is happening? And I ignored them for like my whole set. I was like, I'm being a trooper. I got to get through. Like, I want to get my time.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But then, and this is kind of my mistake, because I should have done the early checking in and being like, hey, you guys need to shut up or I'll make fun of you.
Right.
And then I just could have kept going.
Right.
But I didn't do the early check on them.
Oh, you just went
that was my
straight
bad.
For blood.
Yeah. I just waited too long and then I was just so mad. I think I just kept being like, keep it chill. They'll stop.
Yeah.
Because they never did. I just got angrier and angrier.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then I basically just eviscerated him. And I chose one out of the two of them. I don't know why, but I was like, the guy in the hat's the problem.
Yeah.
And I yelled at him.
Do you tend to be pretty aggressive towards hecklers like that?
No, usually I'm pretty like goofy about it.
Yeah.
Usually I'm more like,
so what happened last night? Why'd you wait for my show?
I am telling you, I think it's because, you know how like sometimes you go on stage and you're like able to just be like, I'm going to have a great time no matter what happens, and sometimes you're in work mode in a different way where you're like, oh, I worked out on these jokes earlier, here's what I'm trying to get through, I'm gonna put this in a different order, I'm trying to keep my tags in mind, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes you're there kind of working really hard in the back of your mind too.
That's a good plot.
You know, and I'm like trying to do that with this 15 minute set and flip it and do different stuff from yesterday, but then include some of the new stuff I wrote for yesterday's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing all that in my head, and all I can hear is the two of them talking.
Oh,
and so I think I just kept getting angrier without checking in with them.
Right.
And then I just exploded and I was like, oh my God. But anyway, the story has an interesting end because, right, he came backstage to apologize.
Yes.
And he was like, you're so great. You were so great up there. I was like, as if you've heard, but whatever.
Yeah, what was your favorite joke?
Yeah. Tell it back to me. No, so yeah, he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, yeah, thanks. And then I was like, you should apologize to your friend because he's the one that I reamed out.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh, okay. So we were like, oh, cool. So I guess sometimes, like, you know, shaming a man really works in public. But then we realized he was apologizing to me during Troy's closer.
Yeah, exactly.
And we were like, You learned nothing.
You left during you interrupted one set and then you left during the next set.
And everyone can see you because you're on that bench.
He's very
next
visible.
To the stage, you idiot.
Yeah.
It's like that was pretty incredible. Though.
I think that's an example though, and like sometimes I tell myself or I go like, eh, man, like you think about heckle lines sometimes and how you would respond, but ultimately, every situation is so different that you don't really have. And when you see people use canned lines that you know they've used before, it's kind of weird. It just doesn't feel. I've been trying to, like, one of these things that I've been trying to do in my comedy and more general is to be like, I've been thinking of the word, like, I listened to an interview with Seinfeld where he's talking about, like, yes, comedy is like a power trip, but it's also very generous, like, you're giving to people. And like, I was like, oh, that's great. I'm just trying to be, like, more generous and have, like, a more, which means when then something happens on the stage, I'm less angry. Because normally, if the, like, a heckler happens, I'm mad. Like, I'm not, the same thing. It's like, I'm trying to work, I'm trying to get this up. But when you're in, like, if I'm in a better headspace,
exactly,
I'll literally just be like, hey, can you stop? Can you, like, it'll be very polite. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm so glad that all of you are here. It means the world to me that you came out to a comedy show. Could you, like, I'll literally shush them. Like, shh.
I mean, I'll be goofy about it usually. Yeah. I, like, lean down and I'll be like, so what are we talking about? Yeah, you know? Yeah. I'm not going to be a dick in a way where, like, how I was yesterday, where I'm just, like, mean.
That's
and
what you're
like,
say,
oh, God.
But
you know what I'm saying? It works. 100%
worked. Of the times I've seen you deal with a heckler, you've been very mean. So.
It's true. The math checks out.
I'm surprised a bunch of those kids, like, didn't get their phones out immediately. Like, here we go. It's going to happen. I witnessed
it. The takedown. But also, I feel like when heckling happens, to me, mostly it's positive heckling.
Yes. You know? It's very supportive.
Where they're, like, being a part of it in a sweet way, but they just don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what happened at my show yesterday.
Yeah.
A lady was really into my act, and, like, after one of my jokes, like, after laughing, she goes, that could be true. That's what she said. And I stopped and I was like, what? I was like, that is such a weird heckle. You're like, it's possible. That could be a fact. And then, like, we all had fun with it. And I wasn't mean, because why would I be mean? She clearly was having a nice time.
Yeah.
She just doesn't know how to act.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can then have a conversation and not be mad.
Yeah.
But this guy, when I, like, started being like, okay, what are you doing? Are you talking? He goes, I was talking about your jokes or something,
right.
That. And then he goes, oh, I was reacting to your jokes. I was like, no, there's only one reaction to a joke. And it's to laugh. Like, that's it.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do.
They're just, he broke in to discuss it.
So just the fact that he was, like, lying in too, I was like, I hate you more than the average person.
Sometimes stuff like that too, like, it's not a club room, so there's no alcohol involved. Like, a drunk heckler is a different thing altogether. That's hard to, because it's like wrestling like a jellyfish. Like, it just, you can't really get a grip on it, you know, because they're drunk. Their senses are gone. So you can, like, look at a drunk and go, shut up, and they won't, because they're drunk. Their senses are gone.
A good trick I do for drunk people is I'll be like, you know, whoever's being loud, I'll be like, hey, I was like, you guys, I don't think you knew this, but we have a star here today. And I'll be like, well, what's your name? And she'll be like, Nancy. And I'll be like, guys, Nancy really needs some attention right now. Yeah. And I want everyone to give it to her. I'm like, everyone say, yay, Nancy. And let's all clap or whatever. And I'll be like, 1, 2, 3. And everyone will be like, yay, Nancy. And then she'll feel like acknowledged. But also it's like, I'm like, and that's it, Nancy. That's all you're going to get. You know?
She does
and
feel
then
acknowledged.
And
at the same
on.
Time, like, everyone's like, oh, Nancy sucks.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And you didn't do anything mean to her.
No. You gave her what she wanted. And then she realized it doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
Maybe she does then.
Which I think is how you deal with drunk people, because their logic isn't right.
No, their senses are gone. So, yeah, no, that guy was just a particularly annoying guy. And, man, I wanted him to mean that apology, but I think he just felt guilty.
Whatever it takes, right?
Yeah,
I don't know. But he was silent for the rest of Troy's
set. You did make him a better crowd member.
So,
that's
at least that worked out.
Well, thank you for doing my show. Thank you for
berating
my audiences.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me insult your crowd. I felt bad for them too. I'm like, you don't deserve to listen to me yell at this guy. What an idiot. Anyway, don't be that guy.
No,
listening.
And I appreciate you doing the pod today. So this is, I wanted to, for our listeners, bring them in like a little behind the curtain here. So whenever I have a guest, particularly a guest that I don't know, like we met yesterday, we're doing the pod here, and I'll send out the little note and I'll tell people like, hey, this is our podcast, this is kind of what we're about, and these are like kind of roughly what our numbers are, like, you know, it's all the things that make them decide whether or not it's worth it. And you graciously agreed. And then, especially again, when I don't know someone very well, I'll say, hey, here's the type of stuff that we talk about, all in the vein of family. And I'll throw out like some little ideas, just like, hey, maybe we could run with this. Does anything jump out to you here? And usually people get one or two things, or we do the option of like a kind of more generic, hey, let's get to know you.
I sent a long paragraph
to what is a pretty standard email and got a phenomenal response from Sophia here. And at the risk of burying the lead, I'm going to read it in its entirety.
Well, now everyone knows every single thing.
Is that okay? May I?
Please do it.
So again, I say, hey, here are some ideas. Is there anything that you feel uniquely qualified or love to talk about? And you said, well, here's what I got. Strap in. I'm an immigrant. I moved here with my single mom from Ukraine when I was 11. Okay, you're not the first. We've had plenty of folks that have immigrated. Okay. But then we keep going. We had a rough relationship, but it's better now. I've never met my dad, but I found him on Russian Facebook.
Yep.
Which I didn't even know was a thing. I thought it was all the same Facebook, but we'll talk about that. I had breast cancer like a year ago. Also, because of that, I had a surrogate and my husband, and I just found out she miscarried at 15 weeks. Sheesh. All of that is fair game. Also, I went to Jewish camp in Ukraine when I was little after being raised secular, and it became Orthodox for the summer. LOL. Hope that wasn't overwhelming. Where to start? That's the best podcast episode we've ever had, and all I did was... I mean, it's got it all there. It's got a heartwarming story. It's got some ups. It's got some downs.
I'm ready for my Lifetime movie.
Yeah, exactly. It was silly. LOL. So let's start in Ukraine.
Also, you like how I ended it with LOL, so you knew it wasn't too serious. No, so I was LOL.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Really cushioned the blow there. It's like, well... That's really going to make him feel safe.
Yeah, it actually was a nice LOL. Even if you would have done like the crying eyes laughing emoji, that probably wouldn't have been strong enough. I'm glad you just actually wrote out LOL because like, all right, we can talk in a serious but lighthearted manner on some of these issues. Yeah. Okay, so you're born in Ukraine.
Yes. I'm from Odessa, which is where Yakov Smirnoff is from also.
That's right. So she told me last
time. I know. I have a personal mission to become the most famous person from Odessa.
Yeah.
And he's really so far ahead and I'm so mad at him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if the year were like 1988, you'd have no chance.
No.
But he's not quite as in the spotlight now as he once was.
No, not as much, but still.
I don't even know what he's doing. I haven't even...
I think he has a resident show at that, not Vegas... The other place where people have...
Reno?
No, Reno. Like Ms...
Branson?
Yes.
Branson.
Yes.
I gotta look that up.
I'm pretty sure that...
Oh, my God.
He had a resident show there for a long time about relationships.
Really?
Like men are from Russia. Women are also from Russia. You know that old...
I got to look that up as you're talking, because that, it looked, oh my gosh, Yakov up doing Justin Branson.
I told you.
Oh.
I keep tabs on him. He's the background on my Twitter.
Yakov's Theater. He's got, is that going to be your route?
Yeah,
you're going to need to make some turns to end up at Branson. Branson's
dude,
pretty conservative.
Sophia Theater is hard.
Yeah.
I've got a lot of work to do.
I just never would have thought that's where he was, but so you
if you have a nemesis though, it's kind of best place for them to be.
Yeah. Do you feel he's not an inspiration to you?
He doesn't know he's my nemesis. But I mean, for a little bit,
is he
bit
like
of,
a god there though, like in Odessa where you're from?
Nah,
no,
but the thing is about Odessa is it's considered to be the capital of humor.
Okay.
And like the USSR, it has this reputation.
Yeah.
As like, that's the funny city. That's where all the funny people are from.
Uh-huh.
So to be a funny person from Odessa that's like a famous comedian is like, kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And he took that crown. on April 1st in Odessa, they decorate all the statues with like aluminum foil and like goofy stuff. And you have like an April 1st parade.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is not what I think when I like close my eyes and picture...
Yeah, people don't think
Ukraine.
Like mass expressions of joy is something we do.
Yeah, is that unique to Odessa then?
I think Odessa is that going Russians down have an amazing sense of humor, but Odessa is like, yeah, amazing.
So growing up with your mom, then dad is out of the picture, or was never in the picture. Did you have a funny household? Like, what was your mom like?
No, wasn't that funny?
Yeah, I was gonna say it was kind of a strange.
My grandpa was hilarious.
Okay,
though.
Did you see them
hilarious.
A lot?
Yeah. So basically, my mom and my dad had a relationship, broke up. Then my mom and him met up at a computer conference because they're both computer programmers.
A computer conference.
They had a one-night stand. Boom. That was your girl. My mom didn't even tell anybody
born
that she was pregnant
out of a
for 7 months because she was a psycho. Just wore muumuus. Didn't tell anybody
what?
She was pregnant.
7 months.
Yeah. Then finally had the baby and people were like, where is this? What? Who's the dad? And she wouldn't tell anybody. She's just a crazy person. So, yeah. So that's kind of the thing with my dad. So I've never met him, had never seen a picture of him. When I was a kid, I was going through a photo album.
Yeah.
There was a picture of just like my mom on the beach with her best friend and some guy. And then I pointed at him and I was like, that's my dad, right? And my mom like froze because that was my dad.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not like he looks like me, you know? It's not like I look exactly like my mother. If you saw a picture of him, you wouldn't be like, oh, yeah, he's Sophia's dad.
How'd you know then?
No, I don't know. It's like this weird feeling where I just knew it.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
That is peculiar, yeah.
And then I guess when we moved, he had come to see me before we left, but I didn't ever meet him. Like, he never talked to me, and I didn't. So I've never met him. And then my aunt a couple years ago found him on Russian Facebook, which is called Одноклассники. That means people in your same grade, you know?
Okay.
That's, I don't know how to say that in one word.
People
classmates.
In, oh, classmates. There you go. That makes more sense. And okay, because Facebook originally was kind of about who you went to college with and stuff. So
yeah
there you go.
So yeah, so my dad was on there and then I saw what he looks like now. And like he's lives in Germany. He's married to this super Aryan looking blonde woman and he has two sons and they look like Joffrey, both of them.
Oh my gosh.
I know. Nothing like me.
And did you didn't reach out?
My aunt reached out on my behalf. He never replied.
Oh.
So yeah, I don't know. He's just out there in Dusseldorf, Germany.
Do you want to connect with him in any way? Is he want to show up?
Yeah. I do because I'm just so curious. You know, that's
right.
Like half of you.
Right.
And there's
what
just,
you're curious like about what he's like or about the decisions that he's made or
both.
You're
I like, mean, I know my mom's like not an easy person and definitely didn't want him involved.
Right.
But I also feel like if I fathered or mothered a child at 18, I would like try to reach out.
Sure.
And then at least have one conversation with them. The fact that he never did, I'm like, I'd like to know why.
Yeah. Just that like out of sight, out of mind thing. You're like, that's what I do with like small problems. Like that's like I put you know, like you sweep some dirt under the couch or rug or something like that. Not a child.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like just curious. I'm like, hey, so what's it like to just be like so like cold hearted? No, I'm just kidding.
No,
I wouldn't ask him that. But yeah. I am curious to see
but
what
that's
he's
the
like.
Question.
And that's a question that I would like to ask him.
The question when you can ask is how can you live with yourself? Like knowing that I was out here.
And also just, I mean, that's half of your genetic makeup. You just never cared?
I get
what?
It that people don't get along sometimes with people who they didn't have kids with. I get that. My parents split, like my wife, like that, my wife's parents split. Like sometimes, like, it just doesn't work out. Like, and sometimes they don't even get married. You have a kid and you decide you want to keep the kid and you're like, I don't, you know, there's lots of people doing that. But the full, like, especially now that you're an adult, like, he doesn't have to raise you.
I know. I'm like, is he afraid that I'll just show up in my mid-30s at his house and be like, you owe me $80,000? Like, no, I don't want anything from him. I just want information.
Yeah. So do you think you'll act on that desire? You think you'll reach out? You think you'll find out
where
the guy lives?
I kind of always wanted to shoot, like, meeting him. To like have video of it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To just do something with that.
Sure.
I just
feel
like
compelling.
A lot of people are fatherless, and doing the thing where you find your father is such a archetypal thing that you kind of everybody right. who's fatherless has thought yeah. that or has gotten that opportunity or has wanted to.
Yeah.
And I think it would be kind of just interesting to capture that. And yeah. I think I have no idea how he would react to me. And I don't think his family knows about me, right? So if right. I came there, it would like be like...
his kids.
Yeah. I don't think his wife. Yeah. Like, so it would be a lot of talking he'd have to do with them before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you would definitely mess his life up.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Unless he just told them all and they're cool with it. They're like, all right, Dad.
Yeah.
We call you the abandoner. Woo! No.
I mean, I can't, I mean, to think about, you know, like if that happened, like with my parents, because I would be around that age, right? His kids, how old are his kids now?
They're like quite a bit younger than me.
Okay.
So when I looked, they were like teenagers when I saw the photos.
Could you imagine?
High school.
Could you imagine being in high school and then somebody shows up and you're like, oh, that's also my dad.
Yeah.
He just doesn't, he didn't care about me.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
So you know, get ready, he might leave you too.
Yeah,
buckle.
No pressure.
Oh gosh, it changes the whole dynamic. But you know, and that's obviously not that you need me to tell you this, but it's one of those things. It's like it's 1000% your decision, but man, part of me wants it for you and then part of me wants it for him, like even if it goes bad for him.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what you get.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, call it karma, call it reap what you sow, call it whatever.
Yeah.
You
know, like, I mean, I would love to show up in his life and be like, and he's like, oh, thank God, like, I need a kidney. And I'll be like, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
I will see you later.
Well, I wonder, too, if there's, like, you know, it could so radically impact... There's a chance that there's just huge details
that I don't even
that
know.
That you don't know.
Yeah, that'll change what I think of my
of
mom.
Your mom, right?
Yes, I thought that too.
Like he could just say, like, she told me never to contact you again. She told me something like that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm sure he'll say some shit like that.
Yeah.
That it sounds like my mom.
This is such a terrible, fun, exciting thing
to talk about. Right? It is. It's very exciting. Yeah. And also, like, no one else in my family has light eyes. My grandma did,
really?
But she's dead, and he has light eyes, and his kids do.
Oh, my God.
So that was, like, kind of weird. I'm like, oh, I actually, a little bit in that way, look like them.
Oh, and it's crazy.
So weird.
It's insane. What does your mom think about all that, about you? Have you talked to her about it?
She is so uncomfortable with the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I found his email address online when I was in high school, when I was, like, 16, and I told her about it, and she got so upset that I just never messaged him. And then I never found that email again. And then when I kind of like told her about finding his Facebook and stuff, like I wrote a short story about it that, you know, everybody can read.
Right.
And she never is like volunteering more details or is like, you know, here's some more stuff about your dad. It's always like she's got not much. So I know very few facts about him.
Yeah. Do you think that that's because in her mind she's like, she just doesn't even want to think about it, or she's trying to
protect? I think it's super painful.
Yeah.
I think he's the one, you know, and that must be so hard to never have loved anybody as much as you loved.
Oh man.
Somebody that left your child.
So you think, yeah, she's heartbroken that he left.
I mean, she's had boyfriends and stuff since, but she's never like remarried and started a family or like found a partner for the long term.
Yeah.
And you know, I've asked her if she's loved anybody as much as my dad, and I don't think she did.
Isn't it interesting when folks split, like how that happens? Like my mom went on to have like more relationships and marriage and stuff, and my dad never did. You
it's
know
so strange when like yeah because I can picture sometimes in my head, I'm like, well, what would it be like to split up for my husband? And I'm like, it's such a nightmare.
Right.
Their lives are so entangled, right?
Right.
And when you think about, you know, like what you're saying, like how one person can react one way and recover and someone else can't.
Yeah.
And there's no like formula to
it. Yeah. At least in my experience, it's pretty rare. And I'm just thinking about my family and my friends that has happened where like there's a split and both people are like, this is for the best and our lives are both better now. It seems like, I don't want to say I don't want to use these type terms, but it feels like sometimes in splits, there's like a winner. Like as far as like that person's life got quote unquote better.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody else who's pretty shell-shocked. Now I'm speaking in terms. I have no like broad, you know, general terms here.
But it's true. I'm thinking also of like situations where like, okay, my friend's dad came out as an adult and he basically restarted his life with a man and he finally is like himself and has been in a happy relationship forever and they like have a great life. And his mom, who felt like incredibly betrayed, obviously.
Yeah.
Has never moved on
is
super sad and bitter about the whole thing. And it's like, yeah. And that's more of an obvious case of like a winner / loser. But that's, still, I feel like one person generally gets to have a new life and the other person doesn't as much.
Yeah. And I guess maybe part of me wants to avoid talking about those terms because that person who goes on and has that new life, a lot of the time, like externally, they look happier.
And maybe they're not.
But maybe they're not because they in a lot of ways, they probably just recreated the same situation that they weren't happy with before. You know, like.
Yeah, I think we're thinking of people that just stay with their second partner or something. But a lot of people just keep going through partners and
especially
never find.
Especially when they cheated. Then it just keeps happening. But like what's the old, like the grass is always greener until you go over there and mess it up. Like I heard someone say that the common denominator in all your bad relationships is you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real pleasant thought. You're like,
yeah. So maybe divorce and splits are so hard. And yeah, it sounds like your mom was kind of left pretty shell shocked by the whole thing.
Yeah, I hate that.
But you two weren't close.
We were until we moved here, and I would say like immigration totally.
Oh, interesting. Us. Really?
Yeah, my mom.
I've never heard anything like that. Yeah,
my mom basically had to, you know, go. We moved just the two of us to a completely new country. This is 94.
Okay. And what's the motive to leave Ukraine at
Things
that point?
Things are not great for Jews ever there. Mm. So my mom was just like, let's get the f*** out.
Right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah. So my great aunt, like my grandpa's sister, came in the 80s and had become established to LA. Uh-huh. And then like the only way you could really immigrate as like a refugee is... if somebody who was directly related to you sent you a visa. So like you could move your family, but they would have to be directly related to you. It's like a chain, right?
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, my grandpa's sister could move him because they're directly related and he's directly related to my grandma. And then my mom, her sister, us, whatever. So that was how we were all going to come over. But my mom and I came over first.
Okay.
And so we were here with no support. Yeah. You know, by ourselves. My mom, you know, had to relearn a language and she went from being a programmer to like we were cleaning houses together and she was doing like, you know, under the table accounting work. We were on food stamps, welfare, the whole bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, we had a hard landing when we got here.
Right.
And I think.
And you're 11.
Yeah.
Already bad years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not good between sixth and seventh grade.
Puberty, middle school, bad years.
Terrible time to move.
And now you. Live in a different country, and how was your English at the time?
I mean, I learned how to read and write English back in Odessa, but it's not really the same.
Right,
For one, it's British English, and two,
interesting.
It's not, I mean, you can learn, but it doesn't sound anything like that when you move here.
This sounds so hard.
So, yeah. And
this is not, immigration is hard. This is a hard immigration.
My mom was having a rough time. I would have, you know, a rough time at school. I would literally like put my head down in seventh grade, like into my arms just so people would come up to me and ask me if I was okay so that someone would talk to me. That's how brutal it was.
Oh, my gosh.
And I couldn't tell my mom that.
So sad.
Because, you know, she, like, moved me out and is trying so hard and learning English and going to college, you know. Like, doing all this stuff. And I'm, like, coming home and trying to keep it together for her. And I think she was doing the same. And so we started keeping a lot from each other just trying to cope.
For the sake of each other, yeah.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, immigration kind of broke my mom. She just became incredibly anxious and... had just so much to take care of. And I think our relationship just kept going downhill. And we also shared the same space. We lived in one room and then in a one bedroom apartment together, you know, and that's not great for a teenager and their mom. And
That's so hard.
Yeah. So that was, but you know, it got better.
It did get better.
Yeah.
When did it start getting better?
I think when I moved back to LA after living like in DC and in Maine and in Philly, I moved back.
So what's the timeline there? Like right out of high school, or what did you?
Yeah, I went away to college in DC.
Where'd you go to school?
George Washington University, and then I dropped out and I lived in Philly for a year, and then I moved back to LA and started like.
Was she mad when you dropped out?
No, it was like a whole health thing too. It was like,
oh yeah,
it was like I found out I was bipolar in college. I got illegally arrested at a protest. Girl, I could have sent you three more texts.
Oh man, yeah.
So yeah,
you're gonna need a residency on this podcast.
I know. Like, I'm just taking your podcast over. It's
yeah,
me
no,
now.
I'm so into it.
But yeah, so when I moved back, like I just started having to put work into the relationship and realized like what we had was unhealthy, and my mom wasn't that capable. Emotions are not her strong suit to like sort it out and make us better. So I just started kind of doing that work and like setting boundaries and then investing in her and giving her like the kind of positive relationship that she wanted but didn't know how to ask for. And so she would just be like and yell and like things like that. So I kind of just had to teach her while learning, because like, you know, she was yeller.
Yeah,
we would get the cops called on us all the time.
Really?
When I was in high school.
Yeah, yelling at you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like people would be like, "There's DV going on, like for sure, or someone's getting beat or whatever."
Because
my mom is just a fucking yeller. I mean, she would throw some shoes and shit. I think a lot of immigrant kids know this. Your mom will nail you with a shoe. Just throw a shoe at you. My mom's like, "Oh, slipper. Let's throw it."
Yeah.
But yeah, she just was having like the hardest time of her life. Man. I don't even know how she did it, honestly. So it's a lot better now when we're like close and I see her every week and I live 15 minutes away from her. And
yeah.
Yeah.
When did you start to feel like comfortable in America? Or maybe you don't today. I don't know.
I don't fully.
Like, did it start getting better for you individually in school and stuff? Like when you talked about just when it was so hard at first.
I think in high school was like when I just like I was writing creatively like in Russian too when I was a kid. But then in high school I started doing more of it, and like I started the school paper with some people, and then I
that's cool.
Yeah, and I like ran a book club. Yeah, and I wrote poetry. Yeah, it was real depressing about suicide. And I wrote like short stories, and that was kind of how I started coming into myself and started being like, oh, this is the kind of music I like. Yes. And whatever. And then college I feel like I really like blossomed, because I was away from my house.
Yeah, you were an individual. Yeah,
yeah. And I could just find out who I was. So yeah. I think like then I was like, oh, this is fun. But I don't know that I completely ever feel comfortable. And I think it's part of it's being an immigrant, part of it's being Jewish.
Yeah.
I just have never felt a part of things. When you're born in the former USSR, like on your birth certificate, I've said this on podcast before, so if you've heard it, me on something else saying this, you're like, oh, Sophia, this is so annoying. But yeah, I just want people to know about this because I don't think they do. They would have what's called the fifth line, Pathe Grafa, and that is where they would write your ethnicity. So if you're Russian, it would say Russian. If you're Ukrainian, it would say Ukrainian, Belarusian, things like that. But if you're Jewish, it says Jewish. So Jewish isn't considered a religion. It's considered an ethnicity.
Right.
And you're considered to be apart from the country. So you are never Russian or Ukrainian.
In their eyes. No.
So when people ask me, oh, are you mad that someone calls you Russian instead of Ukrainian? I'm like, no, as a Jew, I'm neither to them.
Yeah.
So that's why we left. Yeah. You know, that's
interesting.
The thing.
Yeah. So you don't romanticize that in any way. You know, like you're like, is it like being Ukrainian or Russian?
I love where I'm from. I love my culture. I love my city. I think Russian is like the most beautiful language and honestly is so just devastatingly funny and good and rich. I'm a big fan of all of it, but I don't feel like I need to go to bat for Russia versus Ukraine when people are like, or vice versa, when people are like, oh, are you mad? I'm like, no, I'm not a part of either thing.
Yeah, they didn't really care.
No one wanted to claim us. So. Oh. So yeah, it's kind of a weird thing, because then people here think that Jews are just like, a lot of people here think Jews are just like white people. And they're like, I don't get it. I don't see the difference. When I travel and do comedy a lot, I will see that people don't sometimes know the difference. They're like, oh, I would have never known. Oh, Jewish is like a thing for you.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, yeah, I grew up being called like kike in school. Yeah. When you get called that and when you know you're not equal and a part of things, you're always a little bit on guard and suspicious. Yeah. And then now with the Trump stuff and all the like anti-Jewish stuff that's happening and, you know, all of the incidents of like anti-Jewish and anti-Semitism stuff happening have skyrocketed.
Yeah.
I always feel like, oh, this is what I've been waiting for in a morbid way.
One of the last synagogue ones was just right up the road from where we're at right now. Yeah. Yep. It's crazy. But you, there's part of you that says like, oh, it was only a matter of time.
Yes. A part of me always thinks that, that like someone's going to find out or I'll get, you know, like that there's an aspect of, this is okay for now. You're white for now.
Right. Does your mom feel that way too? Does that kind of like pass down to you, you think?
I mean, I feel like, you know, we always read about like how intergenerational trauma gets passed down genetically, right?
Yeah.
My grandma's whole family was shot by the Nazis. Okay. Both of my grandparents were in the war. Like my grandpa fought. My grandma was a doctor. So, I mean, I'm sure.
It's just not that many generations away from you. Yeah. You're like, it's not like, oh, yeah, a long, long time ago. Like, it's not me remembering my family being Vikings, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
It was a ways back.
It's really recent. So I'm sure there's trauma from that she's felt too. My mom wanted to go to medical school and she couldn't because she was Jewish. They just like wouldn't let her in. So, you know, she became a computer programmer because she couldn't be a doctor.
So when you, because we've had lots of folks on here on this podcast, is one of my favorite, most interesting things to me talk about is, you know, parents that immigrated and you know, the timing of the kid going with him and stuff. And usually the way they reflect on it is it was very, very hard. And, you know, it did put a strain on my parents, but they reflect with like a lot of gratitude towards their parents. Like, I can't believe they did it, you know, but I don't think I've talked to anyone that had like this rough of a landing, you know? So like when you, I've just been kind of curious on like, when you reflect on your mom as an individual and like what she did, is there like a lot of you goes like, gosh, that's amazing what she did, or it could have been so much better, or it could have been, you know, is that what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I posted about this, like, I think a couple Mother's Day ago, days ago, where I'm like, I mean, I do think she gave birth to me twice, you know? I think that's what bringing me here was. And I think the second time was harder, honestly. So, of course, I'm like incredibly grateful. I don't know how she did it. And that's kind of why now I spoil my mom like any chance I get, you know. I try really hard to make sure that, you know, I don't just like give my mom birthday presents and Christmas presents. I like Valentine's Day, Father's Day, like all of the holidays. She's my everything, you
Tuesdays,
know.
Tuesdays. Yes. All the days.
Yes. All anything ends with day. I'm there celebrating. But, you know, that's kind of how I am. And I never give her like a gift. It's always like a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have a lot in common because she's like a jock. She likes tennis and stuff.
Oh,
and
fun.
I'm like, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
but we both like dance. I like did ballet when I was little. So I get us season tickets to dance at the Music Center and we go
fun. Dance can be a thing that brings athletic and artistic people together.
Yes.
Like, it's kind of the same stuff here. It's our merging of our worlds.
And it's cool to just like know that as an adult, I've now built enough of a relationship with her where we can share interests and like have conversations that aren't just like, you know, a lot of people don't know their parents as people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like want to make sure that I know my mom as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the more you can humanize your parents, the more they're like, it's fine. They were, you know, like, or you just start to understand their various struggles and hardships. And then It's one of the hardest things about becoming an adult, though, is you're like, yes, you are my dad and you're my mom or grandpa or whatever, but like, you're just another person, you know, that had kids. And most people have kids. Like, it's not even that special that you had kids.
And then when you think about like, I'm childless now and I'm in my mid 30s and I'm like, oh, my mom already had me. Like,
oh, at this stage in your life.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh. Like, that seems crazy, right? Yeah. Like, I'm like, I feel very young. Like, how? You know, and the older you get, the more you're like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because your life gets so much more established. Me and my wife, we are kids pretty young. And so, like, I can go both ways. The thought of, like having an established life and then introducing, like, kids into that, you're like, it seems even more jarring. You know, like, you've got a ton
of... Oh, that's interesting. I've not thought about it like that.
Yeah. Like, yeah, you just got more going on. Like, we were kids. Like, we were, you know, we're like, hey, we're all just starting all our... Everything we're going to go... Oh, it looks like you...
No thanks. Nope. Thank you.
There's no way I'm not going to take... I'm going to... That's
100%. Don't edit that out. No, don't edit that out.
Well, you have the do not disturb thing on, too.
Yeah, I know.
Which is funny.
Because I really do not like to be disturbed.
But why did they knock? That's what that's there for.
Yep. Yep. I think it's when you haven't let them in your room since you've been staying here. They're like, please let us in here. But I've been here for 2 nights only. Like, how bad
could I've never it have thought been? About that where they're like, wait a minute, we need to go check in on that situation. Well, you're married now, right?
I am.
And you've been married for how long?
I've been married for 4 years, been together for like 14.
Oh, yeah. So you guys have been together for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd mentioned, I'd love to hear about it, though, if it's too heavy to talk about, that's fine too. So you had breast cancer.
Uh-huh.
And how long ago was that?
So I mean, I'm still like on pills.
Okay.
That I'll be on for like 10 years.
Okay.
That put me into menopause.
Yeah.
So I'm technically still in treatment, but I'm not really. Like, okay, chemo was over, radiation's over.
You've had like 5 lives.
I know,
in
right?
In a third of a human life. It's crazy.
So, yeah, so I had breast cancer not that long ago. I got diagnosed, and I think I finished treatment, like, I got diagnosed 2 summers ago,
yeah.
I think, is what happened. And then I had surgery and all that stuff within a year. And so, my husband and I got a surrogate,
mm-hmm.
Because I'm in menopause and I'm not supposed to have hormones surging through my body, because that was what my tumor was positive for.
Oh, I see.
So basically, if you have those markers when they take it out, like for progesterone and estrogen,
yeah,
they're like, nope, shut it down, shut down the hormone factory.
No.
So yeah. So basically, and it's fun because I've been on birth control like my whole life, literally just eating hormones every day that we're just feeding my tumor.
That should be on the pill
pack.
Yeah, exactly. Hormones. Oh, yeah, delicious. and then I'm so sorry to hear that. Was that that she miscarried?
This happened actually yesterday. Was a month ago.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
And I've just started to come out of it.
Like, yeah.
Yesterday, like no joke.
Oh.
This is the first trip. This trip has been really good for me.
Yeah.
Because it's so weird.
Specifically this day's in that you won't let the maids in too. You're
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
I can't deal with you right now.
Yeah, I was like, I have a lot going on. I don't know if you heard my story, but there's a lot there.
Do you reflect on that? Like, I mean, because hanging out with you just over the last day or two, I mean, you are remarkably strong. And
thank you.
You know, resolute and determined and... but not in talking to you now, what I admire is you still feel it. Like there's people who are, you know, resolute and bad things happen, but and they're like, they seem fine almost. You're like, listen, it's you got to move forward, but you got to also feel this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems, you know, you're actively processing it, but balancing that with your resoluteness and you're kind of like, okay, well. Moving forward, you know.
That's kind of you to say, thanks. It's weird because I didn't expect for it to hit me so hard for a couple of reasons. One being that I was like, well, I think some of it you assume is a biological connection.
Right.
If you're not carrying the baby, maybe you're not feeling that loss.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So in the same way, you know, mm-hmm. like, so I was like not expecting how hard it hit me. And I also didn't expect, I'm like, it was so little.
Hmm.
But I had heard the heartbeat several times, and I had like had it saved on my phone, and
oh,
you got the sonogram pictures and all that. Now you're like, that's it's a weird category. It's not mm-hmm. a person. you didn't know them.
So heavy.
You know, it's just so bizarre because you are trying to like mitigate your grief. You know, you didn't lose a parent,
right?
Who you've had a whole life with, who raised you. You lost basically your hopes for life that you envisioned for something that wasn't a person yet,
right?
And that's what's hard.
You had this thing that you were so looking forward to. It was hope. Yeah, it's like you said.
So yeah, and then also, you know, you like set up your timeline in your head. You know, you're like, okay, so this is gonna be when he gets here, and this is what I'm gonna do beforehand. And I was all like, okay, so he's coming October 21st. I'm taping my album September.
Oh yeah,
I'm gonna give birth to two babies in a row. Like I was so excited and motivated.
Yeah,
and then after it happened for the next month, I've been like, what the f- is the point? I'm like, what did I want to do? An album? I'm like, okay, that sounds cool. Great job.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know, everything sounds lame. You're just like, oh, you have shows in San Diego. Oh, good for you. You know, you're just you're like mocking yourself about anything that you care about. You're like, oh no, oh your favorite shoes. Oh, you forgot them. Oh, it's terrible. You know, just like so mean to yourself.
Yeah, that's part of it, though. That's part of all of it. You know, do you, well, I've seen folks when they've miscarried have been like, I can't risk going through this pain again. We're done. No. And then the other of like, well, let's just go again. You know, like I can't almost like, hey, let's like, you know, let's just see if we can have another kid as fast as we can. And then I'll put us behind it. You and your husband, have you guys kind of talked about that as far as like,
we definitely want to go as soon as possible. Yeah, you know, and our surrogate does too.
There you go.
Me and her are like close, you know. We text every day and stuff pretty much. We did, especially when she was carrying. It got a little bit like we've checked in a lot since the miscarriage, but it's, I think, a little bit weird for both of us because she's sad for me, but I'm sad for her.
Oh, interesting.
And then you're like being sad for each other, and you're like, are you okay?
That with surrogates. Wow.
Yeah, because she just went, she had an abortion, you know? And she also was so happy.
Right.
Like, she's the one that went and got a Doppler so I could hear the heartbeat when she's at home.
Oh.
And we would just be texting about it. And, she brought her daughter, who I've met. I went to her daughter's cheerleading competition. Her daughter's 8 and competes, and I love it. You know, she brought her daughter to the last appointment where we found out there was no heartbeat.
Oh, my gosh.
Her daughter was there to hear the heartbeat for the first time.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was.
It's too much. I know.
But it's OK. I mean, we have one more embryo. Mm-hmm. We had two boys on ice. Now we got one boy on ice.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. And if not, there's other kids.
Yeah.
To have in many, many different ways.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be zen about however my family finds me.
Well, oh gosh, that's one of the most beautiful things you've ever heard. Well, I'm rooting for you, and whatever way happens with the kid, the family finding you, they'll be real lucky.
Thanks.
You're gonna be a baller mom. I know it.
You're a kind soul.
Well, thank you for doing this podcast.
Thanks for having
me. I appreciate
me.
You and letting me come crash at your days. And well, I'm not sleeping here, but come, you know.
I love that you have to make that public.
Record here.
People,
you know,
are like, what?
Yeah, people are like,
this is how she got on the podcast. Slept her way there. In a day's end?
Oh, this podcast isn't worth any of that. All right. Thanks, Sophia.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. If you have not done so already, please rate and subscribe. Follow us on all the social medias and share with all of your friends. Also, if you want to shoot us a note, you can email us at don'tmakemecomebackthere@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode and you have not done so already, please go back and listen to all the episodes we've done before. Thanks so much, everybody.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.